here in Song of Solomon. This is a love story. One of the most beautiful love stories in all the world. In the world. Because it's a love story between Christ and His people. She's called a Shulamite maiden, the beloved. And that's what he says three different times in this book. I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. Now my beloved is mine and I am his. And it's about our blessed Lord Jesus Christ and our union with him. Oh, what a wonderful book it is. It's full of, our Lord Jesus said that, he expounded in the scriptures all the things concerning himself. And of course, when he expounded in the scriptures and talked about all the things that concerned himself, that included the Song of Solomon, all of the scriptures. And this book is full of our Lord Jesus Christ in so many ways. We know he's our God. We know he's our Redeemer, our Savior, our Lord, our Master, our Shepherd, our Substitute. He's our all in all. But here we have this intimate personal relationship between the bridegroom and his beloved. Here the Son of God is presented in marriage union with his elect, with his precious people. And this precious, sweet, intimate song of love begins with the church, Christ chosen. Look what. Now let's start reading here in verse 1. Read the first four verses. And we'll set this up. The Song of Songs, which is the Song of Solomon's. And this is the song of all the songs he wrote. He said, this is the song. And this is the church speaking now. This is the church. This is his bride. This is his elect. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, and we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. They are bright. Love thee. Now, when you take Ecclesiastes, it shows us, and we dealt with that week before last, it shows us the emptiness of life without Christ. Trying to find satisfaction in this world. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity, saith the preacher. But the Song of Solomon is just the opposite of that. It shows the fullness that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ and the blessed union we have with Him. And and here in this outline, it talks about how that Ecclesiastes, when the Lord Jesus went to the woman at the well, she said, "Who?" Ecclesiastes is this part of the message to her. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. When you're talking about Ecclesiastes, this world. If you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. But the Song of Solomon expresses the second part of it. It said, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. And that's what Song of Solomon is about. And when it talks about this marriage union, when you go through the scriptures, and Bruce Crabtree dealt with this so well during our conference, the scriptures tells us that the highest union, the most blessed union on the face of this earth that God Himself sanctioned and caused to be is the husband and wife. Our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, He says, that whatsoever God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. And when He talked it made Eve out of Adam's rib, He says there, He said, the husband shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. Now that's what it says. You forsake everything else for your wife. And they too shall be one flesh. And that's what our Lord Jesus Christ or the apostle meant in Ephesians 5:22. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. Wives, honor your husbands, submit to them even as Christ, as we submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no closer union. No, when a person, they become married, they become one. That's why Paul says, no man ever hated his own flesh yet. He don't hate his own flesh. And his wife, he couldn't hate his wife. And the scriptures tells us, and Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and his church. And he talks about this marriage union. He said, I'm just telling you, using this as an illustration of how we in Christ are one. And I know people don't make much out of marriage nowadays, but the Bible makes much out of it. Much out of it. And oh, whenever you see this great union and relationship between the church and His people, it brings on a whole new meaning. We see that the love of Christ for His church is portrayed as a love for a man, for a woman, in this blessed book. And I tell you, the love of a man, all and the love of a man for his wife is said all the way, all throughout the Scriptures as a type and picture of our Lord Jesus' love for His church. Between Adam and Eve, Abraham and Sarah, Jacob and Rachel, Boaz and Ruth. Oh my, what a blessed... And Hosea and Gomer. All these beautiful pictures, types, show us of our Lord's love for His church. And that's why Paul said, I espoused you, told the Corinthians, I espoused you to one husband that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. And the Lord Jesus loves His people. Oh, how He loves His people. And I do know this, that all His people who know Him love Him. If you know Him, you love Him. Now, I know we don't love Him like we should. We don't love Him as we would. And we don't love Him as we shall, but we do love Him. One of these days, love will be perfected. It'll be perfected. Be no flesh, nothing to hinder it. And that's why the apostle said, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. Let him be cursed at the coming of Christ. John said, we love Him because He first loved us. And our Lord, and here's the thing, our Lord loves us perfectly. 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 I mean, there is, when you talk about the Lord Jesus loving His elect, His people, His bridegroom, His church, He loves her perfectly. Perfectly. And we can love somebody and our love will just sometimes get so big and then it'll wane. Sometimes you feel like you're going to just bust with it and then sometimes you feel like you don't hardly have any at all. But our Lord Jesus Christ's love is even and is perfect. No matter what we are in this world, He loves us and we love Him perfectly. We or say we want to love Him perfectly. His love for us don't have no variation in it. I mean, He don't get upset with us the way we get upset with husbands and wives. Don't get aggravated with us like we get aggravated with one another. Don't get angry and say things to one, you know, to one. He don't say angry things to us like we say angry things to somebody when they upset us. And our love for Him is like we our love here. It varies very greatly. But because we have been forgiven of so much, we want to love Him much. We really do. And so here this study talks first of all about how our beloved keeps us in His love. Let's talk about redemption out of this book to start with. Look down here in verse 5, chapter 1. Redemption is not mentioned in this book, but you can't deal with Christ and His church without talking about it. Now here's the church. Here's us. I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Here the bride confesses what she is by nature. It's what she is by nature. She's black as the tents of Kedar. Her sin of her heart is black as the tents of Kedar, with skins made of goat skins, and this is our nature. And that's what she is by nature, not what she is in Christ. And all, beloved, and that's what... And so in Christ, we may be black, but it says here, but comely. We're black by nature, but in Christ we're comely. In Christ we're comely. Look in Ezekiel 16. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Look in Ezekiel 16. We're black, but comely. We understand what we are by nature. We see what we are by nature. And that's our nature, that yet in Christ, we're comely. In Christ, we're perfect. Now in verse 6 it says this, when I pass by thee, talking about that infant thrown out to the loathing of his person, I passed by you, saw you polluted in your own blood, and thy blood was polluted. And I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. And then he says, look what he done to her. He says in down in verse 8, now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. And yea, I swear unto thee, he covered us with his righteousness. And I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord, and you became mine. And then not only did I do that, and I made you enter into this covenant, made you mine, covered you naked, I washed you with water. Truly washed you away thy blood from thee, and I anointed you with oil. Now look what he done for us. I clothed you with broidered work. By nature we're black, but I clothed you with broidered work. Put shoes on you with badges, girded you with fine linen, covered you with silk. I put a jewel on your forehead, earrings in your ear, crown on your head, decked you with gold and silver, fine linen, silk, broidered work. You ate the finest flour and honey. And look what it says in verse 14. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I put on thee, saith the Lord God. Perfect through my comeliness, which I put on you. And that's what he says. I'm black, but in Christ I'm comely. Now look over here in chapter 2 and verse 14 with me just a moment. The blood of the beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ says here that his bride's hidden in the cleft of the rock. Song of Solomon 2:14. Oh my dove. That's what he calls us. Oh my dove. Thou art in the clefts of the rock. Clefts of the rock. In the secret place. Oh, you see, beloved, he says we're hidden in the clefts of the rock. Crucified with Christ. Hidden in Christ. We become dead to the law that would condemn us and the world that would lure us away. We're hid in that cleft of the rock. You're in that cleft. He put us in that cleft. And there's a dove. He put us there. And look here in chapter 4 and verse 1. Our Lord Jesus shows us here our security and tells us again of our love for us. He said, look here what he says. He said, behold, you're fair, my love. Behold, you're fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. I mean, beloved, he loves us and he says, you're fair. And he says, oh, you're mine. You're mine. And he says, that's what he tells us. In verse 7, this is what he says about us. This is one of the most glorious things you'll ever read in the Scripture. Song of Solomon 4:7. He says, thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. No spot. He tells us how we are right now. I don't see me without any spots in me, but he does. No spot in thee. Huh? That's why Paul said, husbands, love your wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church without spot, having no spot, no wrinkle or any such thing, but that'll be holy and without blemish. That's what we are right now. And Christ says that he reconciled us through the body of his flesh to present us holy and unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. And beloved, right now in the sight of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, and while we're in this world, we're both justified and sanctified, clothed with his righteousness. We're perfectly comely, all fair, and have no spot. Oh my. No spot. One of these days, I'm gonna find a message. Somebody somewhere brought a message on that. Behold, I art fair, and there I find no fault spot in there. That's somebody, Spurgeon or Law or somebody, Robert Harper, somebody's got a message on it. If I find one, I'm gonna preach. I'm not smart enough to come up with one out of that myself. But oh, I said, thou art all fair, my love. No spot in thee. Don't even count there is no. Thou all fair. my love, no spot in thee. No spot in thee. See, you're perfect. Now you look at yourself and you see spots, old age spots all over you, sunspots all over you. But we're talking about in the sight of God, spotless. No blemish, no fault. And then he says, not only that, but you're my love. Oh. And 22 different times Christ is called my beloved. My beloved. He talks about his majesty, his beauty, his excellency. Look over here in chapter 2. Look in verse 1. Oh, how glorious he is described in here. Now we sang songs about this. Talking about our Lord. I am the rose of Sharon. The lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the thorns. As the apple tree among the trees of the woods, so is my beloved among the sons. that's what he is to us. That shows his glory. Look over here in chapter 5. Song of Solomon chapter 5. Look in verse 9. And look what she asked. He asked this question. They asked this woman this question. They asked the bride this question. They asked her when she's running around looking for him. So she says, what? They asked her, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? You say your beloved is above every other beloved in this that there is anywhere. You talk about your beloved. Your beloved talks about you. He describes you and you describe him. What is your beloved more than another beloved? Oh, thou fairest among women. What is thy beloved more than another beloved? That thou dost charge us when you find him, tell him I'm sick of love for him. Well, she said, I'll tell you what he's like. I'm going to tell you what makes him better and more beloved and more precious and more glorious than anybody other beloved in this world. I'm going to tell you what it calls it. Because my beloved is white, spotless, pure, holy, and ruddy. Find 10,000, he's the cheapest among them. Oh, his head is the most fine gold. When you look at his head, it's like looking at gold. It's so precious, it's more precious than of all the gold. His locks are bushy. Got all this hair and it's bushy. Curled and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of the doves. Dark, dark eyes. Set by the rivers of water, washed with milk. They're real dark. Got all this perfect white all around them. Set perfectly in his face. His cheeks are as a bed of spices. When you get close to him and smell him, you smell all these blessed spices. And their smell smells like sweet flowers. His lips are like lilies, dropping sweet smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with beryl. When you look at his head, you think about gold rings. Oh, his hands are like gold rings. His belly is bright as ivory, overlaid with sapphires. I mean, he is worth more than you could ever imagine. His legs are as pillars of marble, set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellence as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. What about him makes him so special? She said, I tell you. And you know our Lord Jesus Christ, our love for him, the longer we know him, and as we grow in grace, our love for him and our appreciation for him grows more and more. There's a deepening affection, a deepening relationship with him. And it just gets deeper and stronger. And the more we know him, the sweeter our communion with is in him. And the more we grow in love and devotion to him as we get older. And the more we learn of him. The more we learn of him. And it's like being married for years and years and years and years and years. Your love just gets stronger and deeper. More assured and more confident and more restful and more trustworthy. And that's the way it is with Christ. And you know, there's two times that this fellowship is interrupted. and shows us how desperately we need Him. And we know this, that we want our Lord Jesus to make Himself known to us. Sometimes we get in a sad state. Sometimes we get cold and indifferent. But look what He says. We want Christ to make Himself known to us. Back over in chapter 1 again. Oh Lord, make Yourself known to us. Kiss us with the kisses of Your mouth. Let us smell You. The fragrance of Your name is as ointment. The savor of Thy good ointments, Thy name is as an ointment poured forth. And oh no, we know that if He doesn't seek us, that we'll never seek Him. That He has to draw us after Him. That's what He said here in verse 4. Draw me and we'll run after You. Now sometimes He has to draw us to cause us to run after Him. We won't embrace Him unless He embraces us. And everything depends on Him. Look over here in chapter 2 and verse 4. And let me show you what I mean. Everything about our relationship depends on Him. We won't embrace Him unless He embraces us. Lord, He said, draw me and we'll run after You. We will be glad and rejoice in Thee. But everything depends on Him. And look what it says. He brought me to the banqueting house. We didn't go on our own. He brought us. And His banner over me was love. And then caused me to stay with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of blood. His left hand is under my head and His right hand doeth embrace me. He holds us and brings us and keeps us and feeds us and takes care of us. Because there's times that we don't. Now back over here in chapter 5. Let me go through a few things here. And all I'll tell you, a fellowship and communion with our Lord Jesus Christ is found in the assembly of His saints. This is where our Savior feeds His blessed flock. You know, He has watchmen. He has watchmen. You know that the Shulamite maiden went out in chapter 3. And she said to him, says, the watchmen go about the city found me. And they said, where is your beloved at? And where is he? She said, I want to find him. And they stopped him. And all beloved, His watchmen are faithful gospel preachers. And there's some things here in chapter 5. And they're very important. First of all, the beloved speaks first. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks first. He speaks to us. I am come into my garden, my spouse, my sister, my spouse. I've gathered my myrrh with my spice. I've eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I've drunk my wine with my milk, O ye my friends. Drink ye abundantly, O my beloved. Now watch. That's the Lord speaking to us. Then look why the bride responds. I sleep, but my heart wakes. Huh? Oh, I sleep, but my heart wakes. It's the voice of my beloved that knocks in. Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. My head is filled with deer. My head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. The bride answers, oh, I put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I've washed my feet. How shall I get up? Defile them. Well, my beloved put his hand in the hole of the door, and my vows removed. Then I rose up to my beloved. I opened to my beloved, but he had already withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul fell when he spake. I sought him but could not find him. I called, but he gave no answer. And let me tell you, this is a common sin to us. Common sin to us. Now, if you think I'm wrong about this and you think this is wrong, I'm sorry, but I know this is so. He says, this is the thing. The Lord Jesus Christ comes and knocks and says, open up to me. And what does she say? I sleep. I sleep. That's the effect that a lot of privileges, that's the bad effect that privileges have upon our sinful hearts. It's prosperity. Taking things as commonplace. Taking things for granted. Being neglected. Drowsy, indifferent, prosperity makes us that way. Prayer becomes a burden. Worship becomes hard. And all beloved becomes a little mechanical. But this, look what he said. Not only do I sleep, but he says, but my heart wakes. But here's our hope. My heart waketh. It's a hopeful, blessed sign that there's grace in the heart when the heart struggles with the sinful tendency of the flesh. You're sleeping. And then your heart wakes and say, oh, I don't want to be sleepy. Like, I don't want to sleep. I don't want to be indifferent. I don't want to be neglectful. I don't want to be cold. So your heart wakes and you struggle against it. And oh, our sleep, at least it's not the sleep of death where David talked about. And that is life. Wherever you find life struggling against sin and against neglect and against coldness, then you got a heart that's got some life in it, because both people don't care one way or another. But I tell you, whenever you feel that heart start sleeping, you start saying, oh God, your heart wakes. Huh? That's what Paul said. I know that in my flesh, that is in me, dwelleth no good thing. But oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of flesh? And oh, and when he calls us, he still knocks at the door and he says, oh, look at the excuses we make here. He called us with tenderness. Our love is fickle, shameful, unworthy of Him. And we hear His Word, and it knocks at our heart, and it speaks to us. And look at some of the excuses. He said in verse 2, He says, my beloved knocked. Open to me, my sister. It's the voice of thy beloved. I sleep and my heart wakes. It's my beloved knocking. Open to me. Let me in. My head, I'm out here in the wet. My head, I got dew all over me. The drops of the night are on me. Look at the excuse. I put off my coat. How shall I? Oh, our heart said, oh, I need to rest. I'm so, you know, and then I put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I'm already going to bed. Huh? Oh my, and I've washed my feet. You don't want me to get up and get them dirty, do you? We prefer our rest, our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but blessed be His name. In the day of His power, His people are made willing. But look what happens now. What does He do? You think He's going to take no for an answer from His people? My beloved put His hand by the hole of the door. And my bowels there, that means my heart, my soul, my affections were moved. Then I rose up to my beloved. I said, I'm getting up. Oh, but when I got out there, and I opened to my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. Oh, I didn't get up. I didn't listen. I didn't pay attention. I sought him but couldn't find him. I called, but he gave me no answer. Then look what happens now. The watchmen that went by about the city smote me, found me, they smote me, they wounded me, the keepers of the wall took my veil from me. And she said, oh, that's the, we know what the watchman is, that's the preachers, rebuking us, reproving us, and telling us these things like this. And then look what she said. After that happened to her, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, tell ye him that I'm sick of blood. I mean, beloved, he makes us get out of that bed, put on them clothes, open up that door. He ain't here now. He's done left me. Well, I'm going to go hunting for him. Well, they're going to beat you. They're going to reprove you. They're going to rebuke you. I'm going to go anyway. Tell me where he's at. I want to see. Oh, he makes us willing in the day of his power. And all, beloved, our only hope is that we can't find Christ for ourselves. But Christ can certainly find us. He can find us. And I tell you, beloved, and you know where we'll find our beloved when we do find him? Over here in chapter 6 and verse 2. This is where we're going to find him. And you know, here's the thing about it. In the sad state as we get in sometimes, and I'm speaking for myself. I wouldn't say it to you about you, but I'm speaking for myself. Here's the blessed assurance we have. He said, I made a covenant with you and made you my beloved. You're fair, you're my beloved. You're mine. And He ain't never going to let us go. He cannot deny Himself. Wherever He's at and His people, wherever He's entered into that covenant, wherever He's put His Spirit, wherever He's purged that conscience, wherever He's got His righteousness on a soul, that soul will always be drawn after Christ. Christ will let him go so far that even while he's going, his heart is stirred with him. Said, Lord, please help me. Have mercy on me. And then he'll cause us to run right back after him. And when we run after him, guess where we find him at? Look here in Song of Solomon 6:1. Where is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Where is thy beloved turned aside that we may seek him with thee? Oh, my beloved's gone down into his garden, to the beds of spices to feed in the gardens and to gather lilies. Oh, wait a minute. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He's went down into his garden. And here in Solomon, I can't tell you exactly where it's at, but he said his church, his people is as a garden enclosed. You know, everybody, you know, when they had cattle and had chickens and things like that, they'd put a fence around their gardens. A lot of people had fences around their garden. Fence in the garden. Well, the scripture tells us that we are a garden enclosed. I mean, the deer ain't going to get in. Things going to spoil the garden ain't going to get. Christ enclosed it. We're his garden. And he goes down into his garden to get his fruit. And oh, beloved, and that's two different times he says, look here in verse 16. Excuse me, 2:16 here of Solomon. Let me show you these three places and I'll quit. Three times, talking about assurance. Talking about assurance. Our marriage to the Lord Jesus is firm. Our communion sometimes feels broken, but oh my, our union is sure and steadfast. He said in verse 16, my beloved is mine, I his. And he feeds among the lilies. Look in chapter 6 and verse 3. You know, I like to read it a lot of times without the italicized word. I, my beloved's. My beloved, mine. And again, he's feeding among the lilies. He's right down among his flowers. Chapter 7 and verse 10. I am my beloved's. And listen to this. And his desire is toward me. His desire is towards me. And I tell you, and let me show you this here. Our Lord, his garden, where the garden is his place. He comes and feeds among us and protects us and preserves us. But look what he says here in chapter 8 and verse 6 and 7. Here we see the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Start at verse 5. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I raise thee up under the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee, and she brought thee and she brought thee forth that bare thee. Then he says, now listen, this is the life of faith and the love that he has towards us. Set me as a seal upon thine heart. As a seal upon thine arm. For love is as strong as death. Love is as strong as death. You know, you lose people that you love, but you never stop loving them. Love is as strong as death. Jealousy is as cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire which hath the most behemoth flame. Now listen to this love now. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, try to buy it, he would be condemned. You just give it. You just give it. I've been thinking since yesterday about this marriage and love and people loving one another, and people say you can't live on love. I beg your pardon. You can't live without it. You can't live without it. I'm going to write an article on that this week's bulletin. You can live on love. In fact, you ain't going to live without it. Are you? Huh? Can't do it.